Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ahí va a llegar el gol del Arsenal. Ozil marca. Mesut Ozil.
Bellerín, otro defensor, otro disparo, Monreal, gol. Marca el futbolista español, marca Nacho Monreal. Pim, pam, pum.
This is Arscast Extra.
Hello and welcome to another Arscast Extra. As always, with James from Gunnerblog. James, goodly morning to you.
Goodly morning to you, Andrew. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Did you have a nice weekend?
Pardon?
I said, did you have a nice weekend?
Oh, right. It all sort of it blurred down the line to me. I couldn't hear. I did have a nice weekend. I was clearing out. My mum's moving house, so I was clearing out all my remaining debris from her house that I'd left there. And I found a box full of Arsenal shirts, old replica Arsenal kits from like the last, 20 years or so. That I was like, oh, great. Why have I put all these away in a box? And then I realised why as I unfurled them all, and they all had names like Van Persie and Fabregas and even one that had Nasri on the back of it.
No,
yeah,
really?
Yeah. Oh, I was one goodness. Of like the six people who had a Samir Nasri shirt. Why they've all been tucked away.
Yeah, I always liked that. Wasn't there a great picture of not long after Nasri left, there was a guy in the stadium who had a Nasri shirt, but he'd sellotaped in paper underneath it, "is a cunt," below the name.
That was an option, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know what the lesson is. I mean, the lesson is don't get anyone's name on your shirt, really, I suppose, because, they'll only let you down in the end.
You know what? I've only bought one Arsenal shirt in the last, I can't remember, 10, 15 years. I bought it via the Arsenal website, and I got a player's name on the back, and I never get a player's name on the back. Can you guess which?
I mean, I'd guess Senderos, to be honest.
No, not Senderos. A bit more recent, but not much.
Bit more recent on the back.
Okay, I'll give you a clue. People thought he was fat, but he wasn't necessarily.
A Sharvin.
No, he was actually a bit fat.
Yeah, he was fat.
He was fat. He was, in fact.
Andre Santos.
Correct.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the story behind that?
I have no idea. I cannot give you any rational explanation as to why I went on the Arsenal website, paid money for a shirt with Andre Santos on the back. I think it even has the number 11. I don't know what possessed me. Something came over me that day and I said, I'm going to get an Arsenal shirt and I'm going to get Santos on the back. And I wear it sometimes to five-a-side and people look at me strangely. What the fuck?
Yeah.
What's that? Why would anyone do that? And the answer is, I don't know. Maybe I'm unique. Maybe I'm the only person with an Andre Santos shirt. I think I could be.
That's amazing. I mean, I guess these days it probably looks like quite a sort of funny, ironic choice. But at the time, presumably it wasn't. Presumably you just believed in Andre Santos at that point.
Absolutely. You know, it was that goal against Chelsea, perhaps, that did it for me. That game where he played so terribly in the first half and then in the second half came out and he scored quite early into the second half. It was that really mad game, wasn't it? The 5-3 at Stamford Bridge. Mm-hmm. John Terry slipped, if you remember. That was a fun moment. Maybe it was that. Maybe it was just in the wake of that particular game. I was so imbued with the spirit and personality of Andre Santos that I went out and bought a shirt with his name on it. But beyond that, I couldn't tell you.
On paper, he was quite a likeable guy, sort of chubby looking, if not actually chubby, attacking fullback who scored the odd goal. Very friendly, very smiley. It was just,
yeah,
it was just that hug, wasn't it, with Robin van Persie and the exchanging of shirts at half time. Oh, and the constant defensive mistakes that really undid him at half time.
Yeah. I think it was much more the latter than the brouhaha over the shirt. Yeah, a little from column A, a lot from column B. It has to be said. Yeah. So yeah, all right. Well, that's fun. What are you going to do with these shirts?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess I'm going to try and keep them until the wounds have healed. Until, I mean, I don't think a shirt with Nasri on the back of it is ever going to be okay. Is it Fabregas? I feel like in the fullness of time, you could wear that again. And, you know, once he's retired, people will forget about, you know, leaving, defecting to Barcelona and some then joining people. Chelsea. But some people. But the others, I don't know. Keep them under the bed. Or, I mean, I can't bring myself to throw an Arsenal shirt away. That's the thing. I can't quite take that step.
Yeah, I think I had quite a number because I used to collect them, and as people did. But I think I could be wrong here, but it was Gingers for Limpar did some kind of charity drive where he collected a whole load of Arsenal shirts from people and they got sent off to somewhere. And I presume there are a load of kids somewhere in the world wearing, you know, one of my old Arsenal shirts. Not with Andre Santos. I kept that one, though. It was very special to me, so.
Of course, well, yeah. I mean,
couldn't get rid of
it. It's one of a kind, probably.
Yeah, I must see. Is it downstairs? I get a picture. I'll put it on the up with the podcast or on the Twitter or something like that. So, yeah, so that's it. Anyway, look, that's the show for today. It's, it's pretty quiet,
thanks,
isn't it?
Tuning in.
Yeah. It is pretty quiet.
It is very quiet. I mean, I really miss football already, and I think that the fact that, you know, we've appointed a new manager kind of makes that more pronounced. I think if you said, do you want to watch some more Arsene Wenger stuff, I'd be like, oh, I've seen a lot of that. But I'm really excited to see Arsenal under a new coach. So I've been watching, you know, the closest thing I can get, which is I watched England play an international friendly against Alex Iwobi's Nigeria. And then I watched the Arsenal Legends yesterday. So yeah. I'm hoovering up every scrap of nearly football at the moment.
Yeah. I didn't watch any of that. You know, I'm sure it was quite fun, the Legends thing. I know I saw people, we've got questions. Maybe that's what we'll do for this podcast. We'll just randomly go through the questions, will we, rather than break it up into two parts. People talking about the Legends. Hang on, I'm pretty sure I saw a question here. Bum, 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 bum. Where is it?
I had one about the Legends as well.
So yeah. It's from Matty Bonici, who says, thoughts on the absurdity of people criticising the legend status of a group of blokes who've pulled on the kit again to play for charity. So he seems to think that, you know, even though some of the players weren't necessarily what you would call legendary during their time with us, it seems a bit churlish to criticize when they're just doing a good thing. I think that the point here, Matty, is that there's always some cunt who will criticize everything or something. You know, you can't do anything these days without somebody finding a negative angle on it. You know, legends, you know,
yeah.
it's a fluid concept, but yeah, I you know, is what can you call them? Legends and some other blokes? You can't really, can you?
Old guys.
Yeah, old dudes.
The old guys, 11. Arsenal seniors. Now, I listen, there were some real legends out there as well. You know, Robert Pires, of course. Your man was captaining the side. David Seaman. Sol Campbell. I mean, I heard your remix of his little Instagram post or whatever it was this morning. He's just the most extraordinary character. And I think what was, I suppose, funniest about his pre-match hype is that he departed the pitch after, I think, about 6 minutes with a hamstring problem. So that was all we got from Big Sol.
Yeah, I've just spilled a cup of coffee all over my desk.
Yeah,
literally.
On your computer or just your desk?
On the desk. Now my mouse is sitting in it.
Mouse drowning in coffee.
Yeah, just hang on one second. You entertain the troops there for a second while I go and get some kitchen towels to mop this up. So, you know, feel free, some improv, a song, whatever you like. I'll be right back.
All right, okay. See, normally we'd edit this bit out of the podcast, but what with there being so little to discuss, we're probably going to leave it in. I am glad that Andrew spilt his coffee everywhere. Not because I wish ill upon him or his electronic devices, but just because it's an event, isn't it? And there haven't been that many events this week. We can now spend 20 minutes dissecting, you know, the coffee spill. Whose fault was it? Was it Mustafi's fault?
Yeah, definitely Mustafi's fault.
And then maybe you guys could send in questions next week about the coffee spill. We could get weeks of material out of this. So in that respect, it's good news. I mean, how are things going over there, Andrew? What's the latest? Is it being soaked up?
Yeah, it's being soaked up. Some of it went on my leg as well. So thankfully, because it's been warm here this weekend, I'm wearing a pair of kind of old battered shorts that I, you know, go out, take the dogs for a walk in that. So it's not like
I've... Have you been burnt by the coffee?
No, it was not as hot as it would be. It had been sitting there for a little while, this cup of coffee.
That's right. So I got burnt this weekend because my wife was cooking some rice and then she came over to me with like a big spoon and was like, can you just try this rice and see if it's cooked?
Right.
But she hadn't separated that rice from the boiling water in which it was cooked. So she just fed me a spoonful of boiling water and rice. And I was just like, I just sort of spat this rice everywhere. It was really painful, actually. I think she says it was a mistake, but I'm convinced.
Yeah, you've got to be
deliberate, suspiciously so.
You've got to be a bit suspicious of that, I have to say. Here, take some of this scalding water and tell me what it tastes like.
Yeah. My lips were all burnt. Terrible.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, we're back on track.
The Legends 11.
Yeah.
Well, on the basis of... It's interesting, the Legends 11, isn't it? Because I imagine whoever puts it together, and I don't know who that is, if it is Bobby P or, you know, if it's an executive at the club, they've got to balance actual legends with people who are still quite good at football.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You've got to have some athleticism.
Luis Bermorte is not an Arsenal legend, but... he seems to be relatively fit still. So he's actually one of the best players on that team. By some distance, he scored our goal.
Right. I did see the goal. Nicolas Anelka. I mean, there's a thing. You know, when you think about how fractious the ending was between Arsenal and Nicolas Anelka, to have him up front, it shows you that water has passed under the bridge. And, you know, in time, like you say, like your Fabregas shirt, like your, probably not your Van Persie shirt, but like your Fabregas shirt is probably acceptable to a certain extent. I mean, I'm guessing it was a relatively slow-paced game.
It was. I mean, I think Ray Parlour played 90 minutes in central midfield, which probably tells you everything you need to know. Mm. But Madrid had some really good players. I mean, Luis Figo... looks like he could still, you know, get a game for us, I think, pretty easily. Raul looks fit as a fiddle. So they were better than us and we were holding on for long periods. Our legendary central defensive pair of Pascal Segan and Matthew Upson stood up to the task pretty well. But it was entertaining. I mean, it's nice to see some old faces. I think Julio Baptista played for both teams in the game. He started for Real and then later came on for Arsenal.
The big question is, did he do any overhead kicks?
He tried a couple, I think. He was swinging at stuff all over the place. Emmanuel Eboué, of course, was sort of the story of the weekend, really. He kind of took over Arsenal's social media accounts.
I saw that. What was going on there? I didn't watch any of it, so...
It was just Emmanuel Eboué being Emmanuel Eboué, really. I mean, he did do a sort of Q&A where he... opened up on the incident of him turning up at Gilberto Silva's birthday party dressed as a tiger. So, you know, it was entertaining to see about. I think he was the youngest player involved. He's only about 33, 34, which I think is younger than the right-back we're currently trying to sign for the first team. So there you go.
There you go, indeed. Wasn't there a brilliant Emmanuel Eboué story on one of our live hourscasts from Stuart McFarlane? Told a great story in one of them, so you can check that out in our podcast archives if you want to go back from that. Here's a question from good Alfie Powell, as opposed to bad Alfie Powell or evil Alfie Powell. Maybe he exists across a number of dimensions, but he says, what did people do when there wasn't football on again? I forget every year, but it feels like I'm suffocating. Like, you know, the season is only just finished, really. We do have a World Cup coming up, so that's something.
Well, that is going to be you know, that is going to plug the gap, isn't it? I mean, three games a day for a few weeks in the what group are the, stages.
What are the kickoff times like? It can't be that different or weird because... what's Moscow? A couple of hours ahead? Or Russia? Oh, Russia's very big, though, isn't it? I keep forgetting how big Russia is. There must be all kinds of time zones. Yeah.
There's different time zones within Russia. But I think for us in the UK, I think the games are something like in the week they're like 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock.
All right.
Yeah, and then I think at the weekend there's an earlier game at like 11 o'clock, 11 in the morning.
Wow, okay.
So they're quite relatively... comfortable viewing times. It's not like Japan and Korea when I had to wake up at, you know, 5 or 6 in the morning to watch the games.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to the World Cup. I sort of, you know, I get sucked into it every time. It's not my, you know, I don't love international football in anywhere near the same way as I do club football, but it is, I like the group stages. I like the group stages where you've got all the teams, all the different fan groups. I feel like after that, it never quite delivers on what it promises, but the group stages are sort of fun.
Yeah, I think like the first week of the World Cup is kind of the best because it's new and like there's football on at weird times of the day and you can just watch football all day. And then after that, it gets a bit... competitive or something. I don't know what it is, but yeah, I always
it's like the inverse Champions League, isn't it? Where the group stages are good and then the knockouts are bad.
Yeah. But anyway, that's starting what? Not next week. Oh, it is next Friday, is it? Friday week?
The 14th it starts. Thursday 14th with Thursday. Russia, the hosts, taking on Saudi Arabia.
Well, I wonder who'll win that.
Saudi Arabia, apparently, this is not a strong Saudi side. They're missing a goal scorer. So, there you go.
In general or a specific one?
No, in general. In general, they really struggle for goals. They did have a goal scorer, didn't they, years ago? They had a guy called Ali Daei. Do you remember Ali Daei?
Yeah.
He played until he was about 40 for Saudi Arabia, as far as I understand it. But he's 49 now. It's come too late for him.
Hey,
although
look,
I read that Egypt's goalkeeper is 45. Have you seen that?
No. Wow, I mean, there is a bit of history with the World Cup for older guys. You remember Roger Miller doing it for Cameroon, didn't he? And he was quite old at the time. I don't remember exactly how, but he's 66 now. Roger Miller is 66 now. What the fuck? Although that was what?
Well,
was that 1990? It was, okay. It feels more, 1990 feels more recent to me than it actually is. It's actually 28 years ago. Fuck.
Wow, that must be a scary thought.
What the fuck? 1990 doesn't seem like the old days, even though it clearly is.
Really is now. I mean, the way you know that is that, like, 90s fashion is coming back. That's when you've seen fashion go round and come back again, it means you've lived really long.
Yeah.
That's how I interpret it.
Yep.
But yeah, the Egypt goalkeeper, Essam El Hadary, is 45. And assuming he keeps his place for the World Cup group stages games, I think he'll become the oldest player in the World Cup. He was actually once linked with Arsenal.
Well, he's a goalkeeper, isn't he?
Quite. When he was playing in Egypt, he was linked with a move to Arsenal, but they couldn't get him out of his contract, something like that. There was genuine interest in taking him to London, apparently.
Really?
But there you go.
Wow. I mean, of all the goalkeepers we've been linked
with...
Essam El Hadary, yeah. I don't remember his name. I'm just going to stick his name in the Arsblog search box on the site. No.
Yeah, do it.
No.
I mean, maybe I've dreamt this, but I feel like I remember it.
Hang on
2011.
Really? Okay, hang on.
It was.
Wow.
I mean,
okay.
The first link I found is on... Go on.
I've got it. Geez, Arsenal.com is doing that weird thing for me where when you try and load an article, it asks you for a username and password. But I found a mention of him in Arsblog in 2008 in a roundup of the day's stories. Arsene Wenger talks about retiring. Wow, that was on... Wow,
that was 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was February 2008, about how important Liam Brady is. He denies any move for a 36-year-old Egyptian goalkeeper. And he says that while Cesc Fabregas is fully committed to Arsenal, there are no new contract talks going on. So
ominous.
Then it's next line is William Gallas has ensured Manchester United are not up for the rest of the season by calling them arrogant. Wouldn't it be better to wait till the end of the season to call them names? February 2008. We know how the rest of that season played out. Well done, Gallas. Another reason to put you on my fucking list of the Gallas list.
I've probably got a shirt with his name on upstairs. He was conspicuous by his absence from the Legends 11. that would have stuck in your craw, I suspect, a little bit.
Yeah. Chelsea legend, Tottenham legend, Arsenal legend, sure thing, whatever. So there you go. Well, look, we have been linked with that goalkeeper, so good luck to him.
What about... I mentioned it, but you didn't see Alex Iwobi's goal against England?
He kind of followed in on a rebound, did he? Something like that? I saw maybe something on my phone,
I think a shot was blocked and then he actually finished it pretty emphatically, I think with his left foot. He actually had a very good game. He started on the right wing for Nigeria, he's not had his best performances for Arsenal, but he was very tidy and very strong on the ball. And then in the second half, he moved into a deeper central midfield role.
Right.
And had a much bigger influence on the game and was sort of quite instrumental in Nigeria coming back into the match. They'd been really, really poor in the first half. So, that follows suit a little... I know it's only a international friendly, but it follows suit a little bit with what we've seen in the last few months at Arsenal. I do wonder if when Unai Emery looks at Iwobi, will he see him as a wide attacker or will he see him as a central midfield player?
Yeah.
Because he tends to do quite well when you put him in there.
Well, we have a question from Queen Gunnar at SoFar who says, Arsenal Iwobi versus Nigeria Iwobi. Discuss... I'm very curious to see how he gets on at the World Cup. You know, I wrote a piece about him over the weekend and I think he's one of the players I think Emery is going to look at or could get more out of. You know, the talent is there. We can see that there's talent there, but it's not consistent enough. He is still only 22 though, you know, so maybe under a new manager with new tutelage and new coaching and everything else, he can provide and produce some consistency with his performances, because he does have a bit of end product. I know people, you know, they'll replay those shots that go out for a throw and all that, but, you know, he did get 7 assists last season and 3 or 4 goals, so it's not too bad in terms of his numbers. I think we can get more out of him.
Yeah, I saw your point about how many assists he's made compared to some other players in the Premier League, and it doesn't look too horrendous when you shape it up like that. I just think he has got such a natural ability with the ball. I mean, he's so smooth in possession and he's so strong. He's really filled out, I think, since he came into the first team. And he's over 6 foot and he's very broad-shouldered. He's got a big backside and he can hold it up. I sound like I'm really enamoured with him. But
you do.
I do like him. Mm. I do sound like a real admirer. But I do... I don't know if it's just a kind of academy bias where I want to see an Arsenal boy do well, but I think that he could be a really handy squad player. I'm not here saying we should sell Mesut Ozil and give him the keys to the team. I just think that he could play an important role next season, especially with us having to deal with the Europa League as well.
Yeah, for sure. Well, good luck to him. And if he comes back from the World Cup after a good run with Nigeria and some good games under his belt, I've always felt like he's just lacked a little bit of self-belief or confidence at Arsenal, which he seems to have when he plays for Nigeria, which he doesn't necessarily have here. You always felt like he's got a performance, he's got to put in a performance that will make him feel like he really belongs in the Arsenal first team. And there were moments where I thought we were perhaps going to go that way, but it didn't quite work out. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do next season.
It is interesting because this isn't the strongest Nigeria team, you know, you've ever seen. And I do think that he sort of assumes more responsibility when he plays for them. He's one of the leaders of that squad, really. And, you know, he's certainly one of the highest profile players. Whereas he does sometimes feel, and maybe this is unfair, maybe we're projecting, but it does seem like he's a little bit overawed sometimes at Arsenal. You know, you can see him defer to other players a little bit or go into his shell. And so, yeah, I think a successful summer might be just what's needed for him. But he's one of those players. He's probably in my top three players that I'm looking forward to seeing how they might do with a different coach. You know, I always mention Granit Xhaka. I always mention Hector Bellerin. And I would have Alex Iwobi right up there too, because I do think there are some really interesting raw materials to work with.
For sure, for sure. Okay, do you have a question there? Have you been flicking through your questions?
I have been flicking through. Let's have a look. I mean, Beardy McBeardface, who's at Bearded Hannon. I think we've had questions from Beardy McBeardface before. It's not a name you forget easily.
No.
Anyway, Beardy says, given the truncated transfer window, I really like, by the way, that that's become the sort of official name for this
transfer window. The truncated transfer window. Yeah,
it's really fun to say.
It's anyway, a good so word, isn't
given
it?
Given that.
It is a good word.
Truncated.
Yeah. It is good. I like it. It's got a truncosity that I like.
It has. I enjoy it. It's fun. It's fun in the mouth, that one. And he says, given that, is there a new agreed date to start freaking out about a lack of transfer activity?
Yesterday. Yesterday.
It's always yesterday.
It's always yesterday. Now, is there, I guess, preseason starts at the end of, the start of July? You know, we always have this idea, don't we, when we talk about transfers? Wouldn't it be a good idea to buy the players so that they're there for preseason? So that when they arrive to a new club, perhaps a new country, they get the, you know, proper training under their belts. They get to settle in a bit, rather than this thing of, you know, a guy who arrives at the end of August, for example, has got to meet new teammates, all that kind of stuff. Don't leave it so late. So for me, I would buy all the players yesterday. I understand that's not how it works or how the market works. But, you know, if we get to the end of July and we haven't made any real significant inroads into transfer activity, then I think we can start to worry. But, you know, it's only June the 4th. I think we have to just be a little bit patient. You know, there is time. There is a new way of doing things. So, let's give them a chance to see what they can bring in between now and the end of July. Season starts. It's a truncated summer as well, isn't it? Season starts quite early. So, yeah, give them till then. And then we can get the pitchforks out and we can run around screaming like madmen.
Yeah. I in my mind, I kind of have this notional deadline of the World Cup, because I think I've been conditioned by previous summers that, you know, no business happens during the World Cup. And if you want to get stuff done early, you've got to get it done before the World Cup. But when I sit back and I think about it, you know, the players that we're linked with, the majority of them aren't at the World Cup. So it shouldn't really make any difference.
Yeah.
You can sign Stefan Lichtsteiner anytime you like. But for example, on that deal, if he's got a contract with Juventus, that probably runs until the end of June.
Yeah.
So it's not being announced before July in all likelihood.
Well,
so,
no, I think he can. I think they can, once he's agreed to leave.
He can announce
a
pre-contract.
Yeah, he can announce, exactly. So I think that will probably happen. And Socrates, Papa, he's going to do a medical this week. They're going to check his bits, bend over and cough. There you go. You're ready to play for the Arsenal. Well done. And then we'll see what else they're going to do. There was an interesting link, wasn't there, to a French central defender over the weekend, who I hadn't really heard of before. What's his name?
I don't know if I even saw this. Sorry, I went as if I knew, and then I suddenly thought, do I know about this?
Okay.
Arsenal, French, central
defender. He plays for Stuttgart, I think.
Do you mean,
Benjamin Pavard. How do you say it?
Pavard. 22 years old.
He's
plays for Stuttgart.
Quite curly. He's got curly hair like you used to have.
And so does the Turkish guy we're looking at. What's the pattern here?
I don't quite know. Is it something in the water that's making young men's hair curly? But I think it would be one or the other. Somebody made a very good point last week, by the way, James, that you, given your wife's family, should be the one to learn the pronunciation of the Turkish guy's name.
That's true. I should do. Okay, I'll endeavour to do as much. I'll ask I'll find out. I mean, my wife doesn't speak any Turkish. She's rubbish, but I'll ask her dad.
Yeah. And then he's probably much better. Yeah. Yeah. Fair
enough. He's much better. I'm reading about Pavard now. Mm. So he plays for Stuttgart. He's capped for France, 5 caps.
Going to the World Cup.
Is he going to the World Cup?
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't want to sort out his issue or his future until after the World Cup, apparently. So 6'1". Curly hair.
That's all I really know about him, to be honest, is what's on his Wikipedia. Beyond that,
yeah,
I can't tell you at this stage.
Yeah. So there's an interesting
one. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, a few more tall guys. Yeah.
Yeah, we could do some more tall guys. I actually did see an interesting question. Where is it? Oh, here it is. It's from Kieran Dowd. Hello, Kieran. Kieran says, everyone's excited to see how the current players improve with coaching. But if Emery was to look at the squad and say, I think I can make a Ramsey Xhaka midfield work, or I think I can make a Mustafi Holding defence work, and thus we don't need a starting defensive midfielder or centre-back, would you have faith or would you freak out?
I think I'd probably freak out a bit, you know. I definitely would. Would you not?
Yeah.
I definitely would. I mean, trust the guy's judgment, but you know,
particularly the centre halves, I would be like, oh no.
Yeah. I think that would definitely be time to freak out for sure. Be adventurous, be bold, make decisions, etc. But don't do that. Like, don't do that. No. No, don't, please. Whatever you do, don't do that. I mean, look, I Ramsey and Xhaka could work in some ways. In some games, it could be pretty useful. We've seen it work before, but is it not just more of the same? It is. No, freak. I'm freaking out now, James, even thinking about it. Yeah, I'm losing my reason here. Losing my reason. I think
Okay, I'll intervene. Yeah. I'll step in. It's okay. It's not going to happen. They're going to have to buy a central defender and a central midfielder.
Hyperventilating
surely.
Here, I'm just... They are.
It was quite a scary idea. Trust the manager, give him time, unless he says Mustafi's at the heart of his plans. At that point, you can all freak out as much as you like.
A Paulie boy who's at P Fortunato 1985. He says, morning both. Good morning to you, Paulie boy.
Morning. Good that's morning. Nice.
Yes, it is. Yeah, people, you know, that's nice to have a little bit of a greeting. He said, a few months ago, you talked about Ivan's catalyst for change and the proof being in the pudding. And he says, what kind of pudding has he served up so far and what do you think of it? So what kind of a pudding? Is it a delicious chocolate pudding or is it a kind of spotted dick?
What's a pudding that has like sponge on the outside but it's got something inside it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, where you open it and stuff comes out.
Yeah. It's called stuff in it pudding.
Yeah. It's one of those puddings and it looks really appetizing, right, from the outside.
Uh-huh.
But until we put our spoon through the...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
Pudding. We won't know what it's actually like,
yeah,
if it's good or not.
Yeah, so it's a good
looking...
Do you
understand this analogy that I'm... Yeah. Torturously making.
I do know what you mean. It looks fantastic. It looks, you know, it could be like, you know, when you go to a chip shop and they have, chip shops have gone very modern these days. They all have, certainly over here, they all have kind of screens now, like LG HD screens, which show all the stuff, all their menus, rather than the old like signs that they have. But remember you used to sort of see a picture of a burger and it would look amazing. It would look all, you know, tall and what's the word I'm looking for here? Succulent and everything else. And then you get the burger home and it's all flat and shit, right? Mm. So what we're looking at here with this pudding is a pudding that looks good. It looks pretty good. We have to give him that. The pudding looks good. Aesthetically, it looks fine. But the sponge could be... What's a bad taste off sponge? I mean, what could you miss when you're making a sponge that would make it mingin? Like if you
what
added
could you add by mistake
sand, you could add sand or yeah, pepper or something, and then your filling, whether it's chocolate pudding or salted caramel or something like that, something fancy. I mean, you can get salted caramel everything these days, can't you? It's amazing, salted caramel toothpaste. It's just everywhere you go, there's a salted caramel version. So let's say Ivan is serving up a delicious salted caramel, but maybe instead of salt, he puts in, I don't know, crushed up Rennies or some kind of suppository. I don't know.
Yeah.
We have to have a taste.
Used.
Yeah.
The proof is in the pudding, and we have seen the pudding, but we haven't eaten it.
Yeah. Exactly. None of us have eaten the pudding, so we can't say.
But it looks nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you saw it on an advert, you'd be like, oh, I'll go to that shop or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But until you've eaten that pudding, until you've ingested it, it's just a picture of a pudding.
Yeah. And nobody's any the wiser. Nobody's any the wiser.
What I need to know about these futuristic fish shops where they sell robot fish or whatever it is, we don't have that here.
You don't. Like, all the chippers near me now, rather than just have a sort of plastic menu with a, you know, burger and chips or fish and chips, cod and chips and all that, they've got maybe four or five HD TVs around them, which have all their menu on it. And, like, yeah, all pictures, and it looks all cool and futuristic. I mean, it's still the same stuff, deep fried and served up to you in a bag, but the presentation...
But it's in HD.
It's in HD. HD chips. HD scampion chips. It's the future.
I don't think we have that. It's weird. It's like, I don't know, I'm almost annoyed. I'm thinking of emigrating. I mean, this is... Why not? I demand... If you've seen these high-tech fish shops in London, let me know. I want to go to one.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's because it's a very competitive market over here. You know, there's chippers everywhere, basically. There's a couple near me, so they're trying to outdo each other in terms of, you know, their presentation and how they make everything look.
Arms race.
And people still just go in and, you know, batter sausage and chips, please, mate. And that's it.
They knew what they wanted before they went in. Do you know what I mean? The screens are almost redundant.
Yeah.
But it's all for show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there you go.
I can't even remember what we're talking about.
We were talking about pudding.
Yes, the pudding. I think if you had fish in the pudding, that would be quite bad.
It would be?
Like salted caramel with fish.
Yeah, no, fish in pudding. I wouldn't want a fish pudding. Not at all. Not at all.
So...
Do you think
that
Ivan...
That sounds like you're giving Ivan Gazidis credit. I mean,
yeah, no,
are you going to be all right after this?
Yeah, I will be fine. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm prepared to give credit where credit is due. And, you know, so far, we've got, you know, a new coach. We've put the structures in place, et cetera, et cetera. You know, fair play. But we have to eat the pudding.
Let's
have
eat the pudding first.
We have to eat the pudding. Do you think Ivan... Do you think Ivan has tasted his own pudding?
I don't know.
Well, if you're the chef, if you're making the pudding, if you're, you know, you've got to do the taste test along the way.
If you're a good chef, to be fair, if you're a good chef, they do say as you go along, give it a little taste.
Yeah.
It's just after the image of him showing Unai's tunnel last week, I just can't handle this on top of it, really. It's a bit much for me.
I could just, you know, he's in the office and he's calling in Raul. Raul, I need a meeting, please. And he's like, Yes, I think that would go very well with some Sven. And that's the pudding we're getting. Ivan Sven and somebody.
I was much happier just talking about Alex Iwobi's buttocks, I have to say.
Yeah.
Much more comfortable.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody what about Raul and Sven? Someone found a better acronym than the IRS?
Yeah.
Surely not.
I did. I can't remember what it was, though. I think it could have been SMEG. But that takes us down a very different... A very different path.
Rabbit hole.
Yeah, that we don't really want to go down. We don't.
What about this question? It's not about football.
Okay.
But it's probably something we're all wondering. It's from Indrek Salamets. And Indrek says, why a second German Shepherd? Are you so happy with the breed that you didn't want to try something new? And then it says, would you consider letting your dog bite James McNicholas for good luck next season?
Why? It's just the breed. I love the breed. And, just thought it would be good to get another German Shepherd. Like, if you can't get a German Shepherd and then get a Basset Hound, because they're dogs with very different energies, right? So you have to be aware of that. If you're getting a second dog, you want the two dogs that can go along together. So just seem natural. Yeah, compatible. So you don't want a sausage dog and a German Shepherd. You know, you don't want a Bichon Frise and a Doberman. You know, you got to be a bit sensible about these things. Now, as for the second thing, I don't think it would be good luck for the new season for the dog to bite you. Because what if, and you don't even know this, perhaps, you were exposed to radiation, a high dose of radiation. Like the
Seems
spider.
Possible.
Yeah, like the spider that bit Peter Parker. But somehow in
Hang
reverse.
On, but I'm not biting anyone. I'm not biting your dog.
Yeah, but my
the
dog.
The dog's biting me.
Yeah, exactly. And she gets a dose of radiation and becomes like a super dog. Well, that would be weird if the dog turned into you. Because I,
the
you
dog,
know.
Like, picks up my major traits.
Yeah.
It became really short-sighted. All its fur fell out.
It would be a challenge to walk that particular dog. Yeah, so, no, I don't want the dog to bite you. I don't want the dog to bite anyone. Dogs should not bite people. They should love people. So, you know, I'd be quite happy for her to have a lick of you. If you were happy to let the dog lick you, that would be That would be all right.
That's fine. Yeah,
because it's a lick of love. I think we should call it.
Is that love when a dog licks you? Is that what that is, or is it just like you know dogs that lick a lot that they're like, oh, I love to lick people.
Yeah.
What's going on there? Are they just very affectionate, or?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's some of it, I presume, is just habit with some dogs, but I think it's just their way of saying, yes, I love you. I'm a dog and I love you. Here's some licks. Now, sometimes...
Seems a shame that we can't do that, you know?
Well...
person to person.
Ivan can do that. He's had a good lick of Sven, a good lick of Raoul, because he's making the pudding. He has to know what the pudding tastes like. So
taste it as he goes along.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Okay, here's a question. I'm going to go to Facebook because people say we don't...
Those guys get annoyed if we don't.
Yeah, so we've got to go, and I'm going to read some of the questions.
Hold your breath before you go into Facebook. You don't know what might happen in there.
Okay.
Scary in there.
Right. Boom, boom, boom. Morris Shortall. It's not really a question. Mm-hmm. He says, Joel Campbell, give the man a chance, Emery. What do you think?
I saw Joel Campbell in my sort of search for football. I saw Joel Campbell score a goal against Northern Ireland this weekend.
Right.
He was Costa Rica's outstanding player against Northern Ireland. And he's gearing up for the World Cup. He's actually playing England next week in a friendly.
Oh, yeah? Costa Rica and versus England?
Yeah, that's on the agenda. Give him a chance. I mean, he sort of has had chances, hasn't he, in the past? It's not like he's not had any chances. And he kind of did okay for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure he's the solution to anything. A lot depends on Danny Welbeck. You know, if Danny Welbeck isn't going to sign a new contract, I think there is a convincing argument to let him go and then let Lucas Perez or Joel Campbell or Eddie Nketiah sort of fight it out for that third striking spot. But as it is, I mean, I can't get too excited. I can't get too excited either way about Joel Campbell. You know, I'm not desperate for him to have a chance, and I'm not desperate to sell him. I'm just sort of, he's had so many loan spells that he doesn't even really feel like our player anymore.
Yeah, he didn't do particularly well on his last loan spell. Maybe he was injured, but I think the Joel Campbell ship has sailed. That would be my take on it. I don't see it as something we should revisit. You know, he's had chances, he did all right, but is Joel Campbell the guy who's going to make us top four again? Title contenders?
Probably not.
I don't
He's
think
26
so.
He's 26 this summer. That'll make you feel old. He's 26 this summer. Oh.
I remember when he was just 22. It was...
Yeah.
Seems so long ago now.
I know. Perennially 22 and now suddenly he's 26. How's that happened? Creeps up on us.
Yeah, it really does.
No, I think... I actually think he's a pretty decent player and I think he could do well for like Everton or something like that. But I don't think he's the answer for Arsenal.
Andy Newton wants to know, could Steven Nzonzi be a good option for DM? If he's making the French World Cup team, he can't be too bad. We were linked with him over the weekend because Unai Emery knows him from his days at Sevilla, or maybe he just knows him because, you know, they know each other.
I just heard of him.
Yeah.
You saw him play for Blackburn once. He's kind of the right... I mean, I think he would be an interesting player to sign. What would count against him, he's very much in that Mkhitaryan, Papastathopoulos, Aubameyang age bracket. He's 29. So I think that would raise a few eyebrows, bringing in another player, another sort of core first-team player at that kind of age. And I think that will probably count against him. But... I mean, I think it's a bit late. I think if you were going to bring in Nzonzi, you probably wanted to do it 2 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. If you wanted to bring him in, you know? So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to bring him in?
I don't... Like, it would feel a bit underwhelming to me, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, who am I to... You know, beggars and choosers and all that kind of stuff. I don't know.
He was very good against Man U last season in the Champions League. I mean, he's a good player. He's undoubtedly a good player, but I just feel like it would be another short-termist move and another slightly unimaginative one.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
I don't know much of how he, much of what he does. You know, I'm looking him up here on Squawker, you know, to get his stats up. So
right,
pass completion doesn't seem to be working. Defense, interceptions.
I'll tell you what, I did see some interesting stats the other day, not about, while you look that up, about Sokratis, the Greek centre-back, who is always spoken about as a very rugged player. But this was someone, I think it was on StatsBomb, who'd done a sort of rundown of European centre-halves and looking at whose passing was the most progressive. And he actually fared very well in that regard. So one can imagine that, you know, if you're looking to replace potentially Mustafi, you want someone who can pass the ball forward and, you know, between the lines. And it seems that Socrates can actually do that.
So right.
That might be partly why we're interested in him. Just a little tidbit. Did you find Nzonzi's stats in here?
Yeah, like this is his stats for last year. 88% pass completion, 23 interceptions, 19 tackles won, 37 tackles lost. I don't know how does that compare to...
How do you lose a tackle? Does that mean you go in for it and you basically don't get
the
ball?
Yeah. So I'm comparing him to Granit Xhaka.
Compare him to Granit, yeah.
Okay. yikes. Okay, no, hang on. Oh, it's only showing his Europa League stats here. I want to get him all the Premier League. English Premier League. Okay. Right. Do it. Okay, so here we go. Pass completion, 88% on Nzonzi, 87% Xhaka. Interceptions, Nzonzi 23, Xhaka 35. Nzonzi tackles won 19, Xhaka 52. Tackles lost, Nzonzi 37, Xhaka 94.
Whoa.
Blocks, 8 for Nzonzi, 6 for Xhaka. Errors leading to a goal, 1 for Nzonzi, 3 for Xhaka. Let's see, fouls committed. 24 by Nzonzi. Xhaka, 53.
Whoa, more than double.
More than double. What else do we need? What else have we got here? Total duels percentage.
Apparently, Nzonzi's good in the air. How's his air? What's his aerial duels like?
Okay, aerial duels. Hang on. I'm going to get those. Aerial duels 1. 85 for Nzonzi, 41 for Xhaka. Let's see. Boom, boom, boom. Fouls suffered. Wow. Holy shit. Xhaka has been fouled 39 times to Nzonzi's 11. So, yeah.
Interesting.
So, in conclusion, we still need to taste the pudding.
Yeah. But the question is, what does Nzonzi's pudding taste like? You know, we can all look at his pudding.
Well,
until we've tasted it,
yeah,
we just don't know.
Exactly. I'm sure Ivan will have a good taste of his pudding when he goes to do the deal.
I think that the little that I've seen of Nzonzi recently, he feels a little bit like an alternative to Xhaka, not a compliment to him.
Mm.
I feel like they are sort of similar deep-lying distributor types. One's just sort of taller than the other.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting from that.
My overriding feeling is someone better than that, please. I don't know who it is, but just someone better, if you wouldn't mind. You know, make it happen.
They're working on it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They're working on it, I'm sure. What other questions have we got? In recent blah, 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 blah. Oh.
Right.
No, I saw a question and I was like interested in it for a bit and then I lost complete interest in it. I'll do it. I've started talking about it, so I'll do it. It's Glenn Miller. I'm not slagging off the question, Glenn. I just... You'll see why I decided against it. Glenn says, following on from today's blog, what do you think Anelka's legacy would be if he'd spent his career at Arsenal? I was lucky enough to chat to Lee Dixon about him once, who said he was totally unplayable in games and training towards the end of his time at Arsenal.
Mm. He was brilliant, really. I mean, I think he's a player who did not fulfil his potential. when you look at the way he broke into the Arsenal team, you know, I always remember that goal against Manchester United. The one that he cracked in, that 3-2 game.
Oh, yeah, that was
game.
His first goal for Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus, what a way to announce yourself. And wasn't there a game at Blackburn where he just... He was so good that game as well. He raced through and his pace was amazing. His finishing was fantastic. You know, I think his issue was his character. And it shows you how important all the ingredients are. You can be an amazing player, and if you don't have the right character, then you're not going to fulfill your potential. Similarly, you can be an average player, but if you've got character and if you've got drive and ambition and are prepared to work hard, you know, you can make yourself really successful. Like, I guess a good example of that would be David Beckham. Not very quick, not particularly skillful, but absolutely determined, worked his hole off, practicing his dead balls. He could, you know, obviously take great free kicks, great corner kicks, decent passer of the ball. But, you know, his success was as much down to hard work as it was, or more down to hard work than raw talent. And you've seen players who've got all the raw talent in the world who just go nowhere because they're not prepared to do the work. So I think that's a touch of what happened to Anelka. You know, I don't think he was particularly well advised early in his career. The idea of an Anelka-Henry partnership up front, wow. Imagine what that would have been like. Defences across Europe would have been scared shitless of that. But, you know,
it would have been great, especially because they both had sort of trademark goals, but they were kind of from opposite channels. Like, if I think of Henri, I always think of that sort of opening his body up and bending it into the far corner with his side foot.
Yeah.
But Anelka, I watched a video just a few days ago of all Anelka's Arsenal goals. So many of them were from the kind of inside right channel, what latterly became a sort of Theo Walcott channel, you know, across the goalkeeper into that corner.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could see how it might have worked. I mean, quite what it would have meant for Dennis Bergkamp, I don't know, but would have been pretty exhilarating. And Anelka was talked about when Henri left, actually, wasn't it, as a potential replacement when we bought Eduardo.
Yeah, are we going to get Anelka back? And where did he go? Went to Chelsea or something, didn't he, at that time?
He did go to Chelsea, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Anyway, here's a question from Adam, who's at Jovo558. And he says, if Mertesacker was a dinosaur, would he be a Mertesaur or a Dinosacker?
I like the word Dinosacker, I think, of the two.
Would he not be a pterodactyl?
Very nice. Very nice.
Mm.
I'm trying to compete with that, and it's difficult. I'm running through dinosaur puns in my mind. Pterodactyl.
Yeah.
I'm not topping that,
okay.
Am I?
No.
He'd be an excellent dinosaur. I mean, there is something of the dinosaur to him. If we hadn't made him head of the academy, he would have made an excellent Gunnosaurus.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, yeah.
He's got the frame for it.
Yeah.
I've got a question here from Ross McMurray.
Okay.
Do you think psychometric tests are performed on players before they are bought? And if not, do you think it should, to make sure they're a good fit to club's values and will fit into the group? And then he's put, this would mean no more Gallas signings.
Right. What exactly are psychometric tests?
I don't know. I think it's like that thing.
Like, you know, where they hold you up a piece of paper and say, what do you see here? And if it's a butterfly, you're normal.
Blood,
and if
it's just blood. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything is a pool of blood.
Everyone sees butterflies except Roy Keane, who just sees blood everywhere. No, I think it's like personality profiling. Yeah.
Right. No, I wouldn't imagine that they do that with players. I guess they just find out what kind of a person they are, you know? When you send your scouts to scout a player, you know, they'll talk to people around the club, won't they? Or talk to people, you know, what's he like? Is he an okay guy? Is he personable? Is he outgoing? Is he introverted? Does he need an arm around the shoulder or a kick up the arse? Is he a massive prick? You know, clearly that was not a question anybody asked when we were doing the Gallas deal, but there you go. Perhaps we've learned from that. Perhaps we have learned from that.
There was that story, wasn't there, about them conducting psychometric tests within the club because, well, that's where they're sort of, I don't know if it's folklore or not, the tale of Nicholas Bentner's self-assessment. You know, they sort of tested his... what was it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Self,
it was like, yeah.
Self-belief or something like that. And he was off the charts.
He was 11.
He broke the scale.
Yeah, he was 11. It went from 1 to 10 and he gave himself 11. He's just like the Spinal Tap of footballers.
It's a lovely story. I hope it is true. I mean, you do hear about the club kind of really doing their research on players. I remember when we signed Jose Reyes, there were all these stories of us spying on Sevilla training sessions to try and see how he was in training and when he was, you know, not during games. I mean, the one flaw in that plan was that was in Spain. He loved being in Spain. He was happy in Spain.
Yeah.
We needed to put him in England for a week and see what happened then.
Mm. So, no, I don't think we'll do that.
No. I wonder, I do think some football clubs might, you know. There's such a movement towards sports psychology and being able to profile people in that way and
like there must be players down the years where we've gone, oh, he's such a good player, but more hassle than he's worth, probably. There have to have been some of those.
Sure.
You know, where you just go, nah. He's too much of a dick. Like, he's a good player, but he's just too much of a dick. Maybe,
Arsene Wenger didn't really like dicks, you know.
Apart from Dick Law.
I would say. Dick Law, he loved that guy.
He loved Dick Law.
He really loved that guy.
Selbridge Gunner. Yeah, Selbridge Gunner wants to know, how long, James, was the Michael Bolton phase?
The Michael Bolton phase. You should explain what that is, really, to people who don't know what he's talking about.
Michael Bolton is a singer who had long, wavy, curly hair. Michael Bolton, he did a terrible... Didn't he do a terrible cover version of Sitting on the Dock of the Bay? The Otis Redding
song.
It was just terrible. But, of course, you know, he did How Am I Supposed to Live Without You? That classic... ballad from the 90s or 80s, whenever it was. Anyway, he had really terrible kind of long mullet-y.
Wow, was
kind
it
of,
terrible or was it really beautiful?
Yeah.
It
was,
was it beautiful? That's my question.
I don't think it was beautiful. I know that's a subjective thing. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not convinced that you could say it was particularly.
If you're jealous, if you're jealous of his hair, then that's fine. That's fine. You can just say so, though, Andrew.
The connection here, of course, is that you used to have. I wouldn't have said necessarily Michael Bolton-esque hair, but yeah, I can see where he's coming from with the question. You know,
I'd rather it be Michael Bolton than Mick. No, you know, I mean, I'll take Michael Bolton every time, given the choice. Anyway, I had this long curly hair. It was much more, there was much more volume to it than Michael Bolton's, I think. And that's not a brag. It was closer to sort of David Luiz, really, than Michael Bolton. But anyway, in my dreams it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had that, if you're interested, Selbridge Gunner, sort of between the ages of about 16 and 22, something like that.
Right.
I mean, of all my life choices, that's probably one that requires closest examination. But I think I was trying to make some sort of point, but I don't know what it was.
I think I know what it was. I think I know what it was. You know, we know you're an actor, James.
Sure.
With ambitions to do it on the biggest stage.
Yes.
You know, to perform, to showcase your innate talent.
Mm.
And what better way is there to do that than in a Timotei advert? I think that's what you were after.
Yes, I guess so. Do you remember Spurs had a player called Timotei Atuba, the left back?
Did they?
I don't know if he was the shampoo magnate, but
right.
As well.
Wasn't there a Timoftei who played in the World Cup and he was... Was he Romanian?
Very possibly.
I think...
Very possibly.
Hang on. I could be right here. Because he's a Romanian footballer. I think he's the guy who missed the penalty in the World Cup in 1990 when Ireland beat Romania in the round of 16 or whatever it was to reach the quarterfinals. Paddy Bonner was the Irish goalkeeper. Yeah.
Fondly.
Yeah. So, there you go. One day, James, you will be able to, you know, if you get the wig now, because you can't do it with your real hair, let's be honest, you're not going to be able to do it with that anymore.
No.
But maybe a wig, and you could wear that lovely long flowing gown that the Timotei lady always wore, hair out behind you, sunlight kissing your beautiful face, and people will buy Timotei,
I could do a Regain advert, maybe, or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like one of those adverts for like a hair product. You know, if it worked, I could do the before. They'd have to get someone else. They'd get Michael Bolton in for the after or whatever. But I could do the before.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Any more questions?
Yeah, I've got one. Have you got one? I've got one small one. If you've got one, feel free.
No, you go.
Right. We'll do one to finish it off. It's from Justin Cowley, who is called at Nonsplodge. Which is onomatopoeic in a way. He says, this is Puma's last year as kit manufacturer for Arsenal. Do you have any idea beyond the media speculation? That's another good word. It's up there with truncated. Truncated speculation. Sounds like a medical complaint, doesn't it? I'm sorry, Mr. McNicholas. You've got a truncated speculation.
I've actually had that.
I'm pretty sure you have as well. But he says, beyond the media speculation of it being Adidas, do you know who our next sponsor will be or kit manufacturer will be? And what's your favourite Arsenal kit of all time?
Well, a lot of people are saying Adidas, aren't they? I mean... I have no knowledge one way or the other, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I do,
Are you allowed to say?
Yeah.
Go on, then.
It's going to be Adidas.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah.
Confirmed on the podcast. If you listened this far to this podcast, I think that's the least you deserve, really, that little exclusive.
Yeah, that's what I'm told anyway. I'm told it's all done and dusted, basically. So that will
be... What is your favourite Arsenal kit, then, in history?
I am very fond, obviously, of the 1979, the yellow and blue away kit, I have to say. That's probably my favourite. It's why I hate all the away kits when they do blue and green and different shades of blue and other blues. It like, drives me mad. Just give me the yellow and blue. I like that. I just like it. I want that.
I do like that as well. I have to say, though, I thought I did quite like the black kit this year, the black and pink. I thought that was one of the few occasions on which Puma didn't disgrace themselves. So I enjoyed that.
Yeah. What's your favourite kit?
Well, I really like a lot of the yellow and blues. I like... Actually, there is a blue kit I do like. It's from the 90s. It's from like 96, 97. It's a blue away kit with a lightning bolt down the front of it. Do you know that one?
Yeah, I know. I don't like that. I don't like that because my memory of that kit...
You can't get bored with any blue, can you?
No, my memory of that kit is Robbie Fowler scoring a hat-trick against us in 3 minutes at Anfield, and I think we were wearing that kit that day. So that's really my only memory of that kit, and it's a bad one.
What about the home kits, though? Because that's harder, isn't it? Because, you know, obviously they're kind of closer... Usually. Is there a home kit you particularly liked that you thought nailed it?
I liked the one, maybe around 95. Who was on
95.
It? Was it still? Yeah, it was maybe the first year Bergkamp wore the home kit.
That would have been 96, would it have been?
Yeah.
96, 97 he joined, did he? Or 95, 96? No, 96, 95, I think he signed.
Yeah.
That's like an old Nike JVC combo.
Yeah. It had a collar. It had a collar. A white collar, maybe.
It had a collar. Yeah,
you got the stripey.
I think that's 95, 96.
Yeah.
I actually, this is a controversial opinion, because I think everyone hated this kit. But I quite liked, I don't know why, I think it's just I loved that team. When the Invincibles got their new kit... And it was the kit with the yellow piping. Do you remember that kit?
Yeah. The one with the big white panel on the back for the name. Was that one?
The one that had, I don't know, it was the kit we were wearing when Reyes scored that goal against Middlesbrough 3.
Right.
You know that kit?
Yeah. That's nice.
I quite liked that kit.
Yeah. The simpler the better for me, you know, with the red and the white. I'm a sucker for the hooped socks, though. Bring back some hooped socks, proper hooped socks, and I'm on board with that.
We haven't had hooped socks since 95, since that kit you mentioned that you really liked.
Well, then, I think we're overdue. We're overdue. Stripey hoop socks.
They can be fattening for your legs.
Really? We should just wear black. Black is slimming, of course.
Horizontal stripes. Yeah, just wear black. Always wear black.
All right. Okay, that's well, look. I think we're going to leave it there. Thank you, everybody, for the questions. Hopefully, some stuff will have happened before the next Arscast Extra next week. Thank you, as ever, for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show nonetheless. You know, we'll deal with the real stuff when it happens. In the meantime, what can we do? We can only work with what we're given. And hopefully this particular aural pudding was tasty to you. I hope that's the case.
Yeah, let's hope so. I mean, everyone, if you're going to take a pudding hourly, you want it to taste good to your ears.
Yes. All right, folks, we'll leave it there. We'll catch you on the next one. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.